This is the home of Sports on Tap.
Your one-stop shop for sports talk.
With JD and the Bus.
Great icebreaker. If you can talk sports, you can talk with any guy in the world.
Kicking off right now on 95.5 KLOS.
Yeah, literally kicking off right now. Normally, we would tell you that they're about 3 hours away from kickoff. No, we're 30 minutes into kickoff in jolly old England. I say, old chap, we're playing across the pond again.
But yeah, Giants and the Rams, too. How about that?
So far, only one team is playing so far. The Rams are playing football. I don't know what the Giants are doing. Eli Manning is 2-4 for 25 yards. And the Rams are leading 10-0, beating the Giants in London today at Twickenham.
Yeah, 48-yard grab for a Brian Quick as well, too. So a 10-0 already, man. Go Rams. Quite a trip for those guys to make. They've been gone forever, JD. They went to Detroit, now all the way to London. At least they can come home with the dub, we hope. Let's go Rams.
All right, here's a little Aussie for you. And a little who goes off recap. Yikes, next. Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush. And, wow, we've got football going. Watching the Rams really make the Giants look pretty simple already. Fumble, turnover, touchdown.
Nice.
10-0 Rams so far. Yeah, live football already. Good morning to you, too.
Smart the experts were last week. It's who goes off.
Because although the Jets completely shut him down, he only got about 3 yards of carry, zero rushing touchdown, he still put up a pretty good number because he caught nine balls for 88 yards. Boom! That's what I'm talking about. And today against his Miami team, would you say that they're defenseless?
Drew Brees. All right. Drew Brees, still, he can throw the ball all across the lot. Doesn't matter what team that he is playing, what team he's playing for. But he is, of course, quarterback of the Saints. Yes, they're winless at home. Yes, they're 1-3. But then, believe me, that's not on Brees, man. Brees has been throwing the ball all over the lot. He's got a great completion percentage. 10 touchdowns already thus far. Nearly 1,300 yards passing. They're taking on a 1-4 defending NFC champion.
Defending NFC champion. It's been a very unpredictable year in football. And, you know, when Big Ben went down, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the Big Ben card here. He goes down. Obviously, that game plan goes out the window. I mean, forget anything that they were planning on doing.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden, now Roethlisberger's not under center. So forget it. So that screwed me with the Le'Veon Bell thing.
Yeah,
so
I would say 27 of the 32 teams go as your quarterback goes in the NFL. I mean, some teams are so bad. For Cleveland, you put whoever in there. Okay, it ain't going to work out for him. But Big Ben, boom. Gonzo, look at the Steelers. I mean, they lose big down there. And how's he playing? Is he playing against Tom Brady today?
Who?
Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, well, you're not playing against anybody.
That's
but
what I'm saying. So I like the Patriots, okay? Sorry, Steeler Carl. That's what I'm getting at with this, man. It's so tough because the offense is so predicated on him and his toughness and Drew Brees being in there. They got the Patriots, yeah, later on. I was finally right for a change. You know, I was going to trick out and put like a – Price is Right sounder on there for you. I was going to put... Because I finally got one.
I got one!
I know, that's not bad. 0-for-6. Thank God my picks are okay. Not my individual ones. But finally I got one. Drew Brees did go off at the Panthers' expense. Wow, this is a team that was in the Super Bowl last year, Carolina. They're 1-5 now. Like Drew Brees, 34-49, 465 yards and 4 touchdowns. Saints pull one out. Finally win their first at the Dome to move to 2-3. They're 1-2 at home. I'm going to see that Dome firsthand next week, man. Looking forward to it. It was a crazy shootout, though.
Yeah.
Thank you, Drew Brees, for finally making me look respectable.
All right, that's it for Who Goes Off. We'll give you our predictions at the end of the show, who we think is going to go off this week. I got a surefire guy this week, right?
Right. That's fine. I'm picking against Cleveland. You can pick whoever
you want. Notice we're not gambling on any of these picks, but this is who's
going to
go off.
I'm going back to the quarterback against
the Browns.
Quick
look at the college football scoreboard for the local teams. USC off this week, pushed back to Thursday. Thursday's when they'll play next. So only UCLA in action. Wow. Against number 19, Utah. What a shootout. Almost 100 points in that game. Did you go? Oh, okay. Yeah, almost 100 points scored in that game. Honestly, I think they're a little bit unlucky, but I think they're also not very good.
52 points. You give up 52 points, period, man. And here's the thing, too. The Bruins didn't score in the second quarter, J.D. They had 21 points in the first quarter. Led after the first quarter. They're right there with them tied in the second quarter. Wind up losing this game 52-45. Utah is a good team. They're respectable. Number 19 in the country. Quietly 7-1 right now. And the Pac-12 title basically on the line next week. They host Washington, who's undefeated at number 5. It's going to be next week, too. So we'll see how the Utes can do there when they return home to Salt Lake City. But, yeah, tough loss, you know, for the Bruins. Look, man, they got beat by Texas A&M week one, right?
Right.
A&M finally took their first loss yesterday against Alabama. So UCLA's played a great, tough schedule, and they're getting so close all the time. But unfortunately, the way sports is, man, you're not getting points for that. It's not hockey.
Yeah,
you
close.
Get an L, you get a W.
Close.
That's it.
Close didn't get you much.
No, it doesn't.
But you know what? These two teams always have, no matter how their season goes, always have one thing to look forward to at the end of the season. Playing each other.
Yeah, they always do.
Yeah, so that's what this one will come down to for UCLA this year.
Yeah, and Bruins fans, you're the best 3-5 team in the country, okay?
That make you feel better?
if you're one of those people.
Probably not.
Stop by and get a Capri Sun on the way out.
Coming up next, let's take a look at the Raider report and see what the Raiders are in for this week. Sports on Tap on 95.5 KLOS. Song out in, I was going to say Coachella. No, Desert Trip is exactly what we'll call that. Yeah, Stones did come together last weekend. Hey, how you doing? It's 95.5 KLOS Sports on Tap with JD and the Bush. Going to get a little Raider music here? Oh, yeah. There we go. Now, our Raider fan attorney, Drew Sherman, from the Adley Law Group on line 2 there, if we can bring him up. Good morning, sir.
Jim, the greatness of the Raiders will be back in the desert.
I know you and Raider Nation, anybody that I talk to from Raider Nation is absolutely out of their minds with the possibility of this happening. And you figure you've got the mayor and the city on your side. Now you can add the governor of the state of Nevada on their side. They've got the money. The only thing really to stand in their way, well, honestly, the real thing that stands in their way is the vote of owners. And I don't know who is really going to want to vote against it. I mean, honestly, who's even close to Las Vegas? The Broncos and the Niners, right?
And honestly, has that ever stopped the Raiders before? No, they're going to move anyway. Don't worry about the other owners. And only the Raiders.
Or the league.
Only the Raiders could bring cheerleaders, a marching band, to a bill signing ceremony by a governor. I love that.
Listen, that's their style. That's what they do. I mean, this is what Papa would be saying if he were here now. I don't need the approval of the league, the commissioner. Give me a break. This is my business. I'll do whatever I want with it. I think he said something about that as he was moving up and down the coast from L.A. to Oakland. Right, Rob?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, the Raiders, here's what I like about them too, Drew. Good morning. They're 3-0 on the road. That's hard to do in the NFL. They're traveling all the way cross country. How do they get fired up for just an awesome Jaguars team and not get distracted by those hot chicks hanging out in the pool? Jacksonville, the only franchise ever in any sport to actually remove seats and put a pool in there.
I love them for that.
They weren't going to sell the seats, but there's a lot of talent there in Jacksonville, if you know what I mean. It sure as hell isn't on the field. How do the Raiders stay focused with those chicks hanging out there?
I think it's the momentum that they have in winning. Winning breeds winning. And these guys, you know, silver and black is intimidating once you see that coming down the field. So
he's got his goggles on now.
It is,
Yeah, but so is Heidi in the deep end. She's intimidating, too. I mean, come on, man.
She is intimidating. Wow.
Correct. Silver and black, man, always plays well.
Honestly, kidding aside, this is really going to happen, isn't it?
It is definitely going to happen. I mean, the biggest impediment to any movement of a sports franchise is the stadium. I mean, especially now when the stadium is key, it's got to be an entertainment venue, not just a place where people can sit down to watch a sporting event.
Right.
It's different now. So they have the approval of $750 million they got from the state of Nevada.
Unbelievable.
The balance of the $1.9 billion coming from Shelly Adelson, the hotel magnate. And so basically, the stadium is being built. They're going to break ground very soon. I think they talked about them playing in that stadium in 2018. So it's a year and a half away, really. And it is happening. It is happening.
You know what? It's funny. You say it is happening. It is happening. Spoken like a true champion, or maybe you're in Mark Davis's back pocket. Here is Mr. Raider himself. I want to get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, that's what the studies are doing right now to show them that it is. But I think it's...
You believe it is.
Oh, I absolutely believe it is. I think thinking outside the box, I think Las Vegas is going to be one of the most exciting franchise opportunities there is. It's just there's just too much that we can take advantage of and utilize it. It's exciting.
Well, I'll say this. Anytime that anybody says that I'm thinking along the lines of the Davis family, I'm doing something right. And not that I've heard anything, but Amtrak is maybe putting a bullet train, silver and black, from L.A. to Vegas, and I'm going to have a permanent seat on that thing.
You know, they've been talking about that bullet train for years. Now, it'll probably take the Raiders to actually get it done. I mean, can you imagine? What a party train that would. Oh, stop it. You know what these Southwest flights have been like from Southern California to NoCal to see the Raider games? Can you imagine what a bullet party train would be like between here and Vegas?
Those trains are fast. Yes, they absolutely fly.
Yes,
I can. All right. Thank you, Drew. We're not in trouble. We don't owe you any money. We can let you go.
You're good right now, Jerry.
Very good. Credit's still good.
Drew, speaking of money, we know the Raiders are unbeaten on the road. I told you they're going to hang out at the pool with Jacksonville and the girls. How in the hell is Jacksonville a 3-point favorite in this game? What am I missing?
I have no idea. It's got to be the West Coast, East Coast thing. By the way, speaking of money, though, did you get your $10 back from USC yet?
No, I never got it back for the bad parking, but I have made $10 more over a few times on the Cleveland Browns losing. Hey, guess what? They're going to lose in Cincinnati. You put that on your money line, okay?
How about Colorado Buffaloes? One last thing. Go Buffs.
All right, get out of here. I mean, thanks for your time, Drew Sherman with the Adley Lugger. Thanks very much.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Talking about that debacle that was the Rams parking situation. You show up 2 hours before a game. Sorry, bro.
You paid for
it. We gave your spot away.
Nice.
Wait a minute. L.A., nobody shows up 2 hours. What are you doing? What am I missing here? Yeah, we decided to let a few extra tailgates in here. Speaking of the Rams, how's a girly man doing over there across the pond with Case Keenum and company?
10-0, right?
Yeah, still 10-0.
10-0 Rams so far. The Giants were threatening all the way down at the 6-yard line. We started talking to Drew. I looked back at the television set, and the Rams have the ball. So I'm sorry, I'm not doing my job. I'm not watching football.
Well, no, we're just trying to keep one eye on it as well, too. And the reason the Giants are losing this game, is it Josh Brown's not there? Or is it Odell Beckham Jr. is just a total head case? Which one is it?
It's D, all of the above.
Isn't it?
Especially when it comes to this year's Giants. Wow.
Oh, my God.
All right, you ready for a Bushka fact? Can you give us one?
I've never been more ready.
Here we go.
Now, Bushka facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
We think there kind of needs to be a disclaimer or a tag, as we would say in the business, put on that. Dave, get on that, okay? We think.
And speaking of the Giants, as we think, touchdown Giants across the
Did
pond.
They get in?
That is a fact. Yes, yeah, sad but true. The Rams defense is sad but true on that play right there. Odell Beckham Jr. finally went off last week, and of course we didn't pick him there. 8 catches, 222 yards, 2 touchdowns, JD. That performance in most leagues would rack you up 36 points. Probably won your matchup for you if you had him and Julio in the lineup as well, too. What would you get for 6 touchdowns? In a game.
By one player? Fantasy points?
6 touchdowns by one guy. I'll tell you about that. It's crazy. Next, it's Sports on Tap, 95.5 KLOS.
Now, Bushka Facts.
That is incredible.
What?
Incredible yet true.
You know, there's an old show on television called That's Incredible. I hope that this bit reaches the heights of that show at some point.
It did. I used to write for that show.
Did you?
Yeah, that's why it was so crisp and clean all the time. It was fabulous.
This will be crisp and clean.
Absolutely. You know, we had talked about Odell Beckham Jr. and leave it to the Rams. How are you up 10-0 and then tied 10-10?
Huh?
Yeah, there was a pick six. And then a turnover and three more points. So it's 10-10. There you go, Rams. There's your goodwill right there. 5:32 left across the pond in the second. Speaking of those Giants, Odell Beckham Jr., he went off last week. 8 catches, 222. Mm-hmm. Had a couple of touchdowns as well. That racks up 36 points in most of the leagues out there. Probably one-year match for you if you had Julio on the lineup as well, too. But what would 6 touchdowns get you in a game? 2002, my boy, I remember it well. Sean Alexander for the Seahawks. He scored 5 touchdowns versus the Vikings. It was a record performance. Only Gale Sayers, Dub Jones, Ernie Nevers scored. Yeah, Ernie scored 6 in a game. They currently hold the record as well. And the difference, Alexander's game came during a time when fantasy football was being played. Absolutely. So how many games do you think and do you suppose were decided by a 53-point performance?
All of them.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. Every one there. Somebody hangs a 50-burger on you in one spot and have a nice day.
Can you imagine? You've heard those stories, and I know you play all the time. I know Alex does. You know, you're trailing by so many going into the last week or the last game, and then, boom, a guy goes off and just comes from the jaws of defeat, man. Amazing.
All right, good Bushka fact. Well, ask Alex if he can even calculate how many fantasy points that was. Alex Gellhart coming up from the NFL Network. We'll 53. Talk fantasy football.
He can add it in pounds of cheese, maybe.
Can I have a 53? AC/DC. It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS. KLOS, Rock Southern California. Alex, breezing in the front door. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you in here to talk a little fantasy football and talk about some of the stuff that's going on. We have a game going on. I mean, that's pretty rare to have actual NFL action here in the studio before you even get to work, huh?
Yeah, I got up a little early this morning to check out the second game in London of 3. It's the Rams at Giants, and it's interesting so far, 10-10. So got ourselves a decent game over there.
Oh, a close game.
Close game.
Yeah, close and decent don't often mean this.
So far, I'll say it's decent.
They haven't been great scoring affairs over there. Do you suppose that, are we blaming that on the travel?
Sometimes. I mean, it's the games over there haven't been as insane quality. I think the travel plays a factor into it. Sometimes we've seen blowouts, like the last time the Patriots were there. Although that last game with the Jags and Colts was interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, they kept it close till the very end.
I'll reserve judgment on this one until the second half because, wow, the league is really turning into a second-half league. I mean, I see so many teams being so cautious in the first half of their games because they want to see, you know, what are they trying to run at us today? Who do they got healthy? What do things look like? Then we'll make the adjustments and really get after it in the second half. I mean, are you feeling that the NFL is kind of becoming a real second-half league?
Yeah, a little bit. Some teams are still good at getting out to a fast start, but that halftime is when they're able to make a lot of adjustments, you know, with what they're seeing and course correct there.
Right. I'm going to not say career bust. I'm definitely not going to say that, but I will say fantasy bust already this year. Todd Gurley.
That writing was kind of on the wall with the way the team was built and stuff like that, and he wasn't catching passes.
People still took him pretty close to the top.
Now they're finally working him in the passing game, which is helping his floor, but he just kind of looks like a different player this year right now, which is a little worrisome.
2.9 yards a carry and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that's what they're doing, man. You don't have the receivers, you're going to stack the box and you're going to play him.
So, fantasy-wise, if you own him, should you try and move him? What are you going to get for him? Because, I mean, this is a number one, a first-round top-5 pick for sure. But, I mean, you're not going to get that back.
No, you're certainly not. We were talking at work a couple weeks ago about trying to move him after one of his big games because he still had a tough slate coming up. Now, you might maybe get a second-tier wide receiver for him if you're lucky or somebody else, but it's going to be hard.
If you've got Todd Gurley, who are you asking for? Like anybody that's got Todd Gurley and they want to move him, what should you ask for?
I don't have Todd Gurley, so I'm not lucky asking you for anybody right now. But, I mean, shoot for the moon, but you're probably going to have to settle for somebody in, like, the Marvin Jones,
Macklin
territory maybe, which isn't very exciting, but that's the reality of his value right now.
Do you have Cody Kessler?
I do not.
You do not have Cody Kessler. Okay. No. Which one of the Browns are you starting today in Cincinnati?
Actually, I think a sneaky play is Ricardo Lewis, their wide receiver, because Terrell Pryor's a little banged up.
Right. That's right.
He's a big athletic guy at Auburn.
What is Pryor now? Is he still a quarterback? Is he a wide receiver?
He's a wide receiver.
I know he's still a wide receiver. We saw him play quarterback a couple weeks ago.
Offensive weapon, as they used to call Denard Robinson.
Plus, he's got some awesome tattoos.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Kelvin Benjamin sitting this week. Dez is still sitting this week. Anybody else wide receiver-wise that you like on the wire this morning?
Pierre Garçon is a guy I think we talked about before in Washington with Jordan Reed out. He saw season-high 11 targets last week playing that Lions secondary, which not very good.
Six concussions
is a lot Reed now. For Jordan Reed.
Wow, how does a big guy get concussed like in six times? Is it time to hang it up? Should him and Tony Romo just like play golf? And
you got to wonder if he's going to at a certain point. He was trying to hide this one from the team too, so obviously he still wants to play. He got that big fat contract extension though, so
and
maybe
this
Jordan
is 2 weeks.
To...
This is the second week in a row that he's missed from the same concussion.
Yep.
Now are concussions showing up on, you know, CAT scans, the CTs, that kind of stuff? Or is it just like the massive headaches? How do you try and hide it from the team? You know, somebody catches you, you know, popping 50 Motrin before a game.
Well, when you're leaving practice and you're running into sideswiping the cars going down the parking lot, that's what it
that's
is.
That's an easy way to tip it off.
Will Smith, stop it already. It's fantasy football. what about Carlos Hyde? He's out, so that means Mike Davis or Sean Drone?
Well, I think it's definitely going to be a committee. Chip Kelly said that all week. So, Mike Davis, if you are in a standard league, Mike Davis is probably the better play. Straight yardage, maybe the touchdown upside. Sean Drone's probably going to be a little bit better the PPR play, but they're going to split work. Neither's a great play this week.
Hey, you tell me what I'm missing here. Geno Smith, he used to play for the Jets. Apparently, he was on the roster the whole time. I didn't know that, okay, because we were so enamored with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Captain Interception is now benched. Smith is coming back. The Jets are 1-5, playing the Ravens. And the Jets are a 3-point favorite. You can't tell me just because it's in New York, that's such a great home field advantage for the Jets. They share the stadium with the Giants, who are lousy too.
I'm kind of surprised to know here that the Jets are favored. But,
by three.
I mean,
that's why the Jaguars are favored over the Raiders too by three.
The Ravens have a lot of injuries right now, so perhaps that's it. Flacco's got a banged up shoulder.
Ray Lewis is out.
Ray Lewis has been out for a while. Yep.
Jonathan Ogden's not playing.
Not there.
No, he ain't there.
No, Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Killing me now.
You think that's why?
Probably.
Trent Dilfer coming back?
I don't think so. I think he's happy in the booth.
God, but I just can't figure out. Those guys in Vegas, JD, they are smart, though. Those are one of those games you don't want to touch, even though it looks so appealing to you.
There's a lot of games on there that I don't want to touch far as trying to go against the point spread. It's hard enough trying to pick who's going to win anymore, let alone the point spread.
Well, yeah. Cleveland's going to lose. You can pick against that.
Pretty much. Hey, what do you do?
They've been coming close to winning.
What do you do if you're an Eddie Lacy guy or somebody who just wants to scoop the gravy on the Packers situation? Who's going to run the rock in Green Bay?
I mean, they're wide receivers, as we saw this past week.
Jordy Nelson, end around.
Although I think their rookie, Don Jackson, hurt his hand. And I think the plan, now that they have 10 days to get Nile Davis prepared for the next game, is they'll try and feed him the rock. He's been productive in fantasy, too. In his career, when he's had 10-plus touches, he's never finished worse than the RB27 in fantasy scoring.
Well, the big question, and you talk about moving people, what about Antonio Brown now? Because Big Ben, they were saying 2-3 weeks. That was wishful thinking. It's looking like maybe 4, 5, 6 weeks. That's like the majority of what's left of the fantasy season. If you've got Ben, do you cut bait and go get something else? Do you just go ahead and drop him? And what about Antonio Brown? Do you try and trade him because now his floor and ceiling are going to drop?
Well, if you've got Ben and there's good quarterbacks on the waiver wire, it's perfectly all right to drop him. He's so volatile with his home and road splits anyways. But as for Brown, I think you got to keep him still. He's the best wide receiver in the league. And last year, he was up and down, but mostly it was Michael Vick that was destroying his fantasy value. The 1 week when Landry Jones had the full week of practice and was the starter for the whole game, Brown had 124 yards. So I think he's going to know where his bread is buttered. He's going to hit Antonio Brown with a lot of targets, and he'll still be able to keep his fantasy value afloat.
And the thing I like about Jones, too, is we've seen him start last year. I mean, for a significant chunk of time, too. So it's not like a question mark there. He's been one of those solid backups that just doesn't get a play a whole lot. Are you drinking the Kool-Aid in Buffalo?
I kind of am right now. Yeah. They keep getting injuries, though, which is bad news. Robert Woods is in a walking boot now. Shady McCoy allegedly going to play, but he's on a snap count. If I own Shady McCoy, I'm probably riding the pine. I'm benching him if I can.
He has a hamstring issue all the time, doesn't he?
He's got a hamstring issue.
What's his problem?
I don't know. The soft tissue. He runs hard. All those jump cuts, you know, maybe he's getting up there. That's doing a little damage. But I think, you know, Rex has got that defense playing great. They've simplified it. And the philosophy change on offense once they got rid of Greg Roman, they're doing work.
And they get the Dolphins, too. One thing they're going to take the benefit of, I mean, I still can't believe they beat and shut out New England. Nobody can. We're still scratching our head over that. And that's what turned things around for them, too. Arizona and New England after they started off 0-2. But they're in such a crappy division, too. The Dolphins, you get them twice. You get the Jets twice, man. So that's the best way to bolster your record right there. We'll take the wild card, find New England. There's going to be a ton of space between the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills by the time it's said and done.
If they take care of work on the Jets and Dolphins, like you said, and they already scooped up one win against New England, there's 5 wins.
All right, great stuff. I know you got to get out the door and get down the street to the NFL Network. Thanks for stopping by. We always appreciate the drive-by.
Always.
Good stuff. Alex Gellhart from the NFL Network. All right, let's rock out here a little bit, and then let's see. What are we coming back with next? Oh, yeah, Boss of the Big Screen. I got a good one for you. It's coming up next, 95.5 KLOS. It's Rock Southern California, 95.5 KLOS, Van Halen. All right, time for us, J.D. and the Bush, to dial in on Boss of the Big Screen. We rarely agree on anything. Do we ever agree on anything?
No.
No. Nope. I said rarely.
Tomato, tomato.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right, we don't.
Trump, Bernie Sanders.
And this either. Like, for today, for me, the Boss of the Big Screen, you know, I'm hoping for fireworks. Whenever I say this, I'm hoping for fireworks. I want to see offense. It's a quarterback's league these days. You know, touchdown passes, the long bomb.
Right.
I'm going to the San Diego Chargers and the Atlanta Falcons, the hottest quarterback in the league, Matt Ryan. A couple of gunslingers, a couple of guys who want to sling it around, and neither one of them playing a really great big bunch of defense, right?
Yeah. This,
especially
this,
the Chargers.
This is true. Yeah, I like the – well, let's see, the over and under on that is 55.
55.
Yeah, so it could be close. You know,
just to give you an idea, look, to give you an idea how big that's the total between the two is 55. The rest of the league looks like this, 40, 45, 44, 47, 41, 46, 43. 55 is the total in that game. Yeah, they're expecting a lot of scores.
Honestly, I like them to beat that, and probably by 10 points or more. And the Falcons, there's just something funny about these lines this week. The Falcons are a 5.5-point favorite. What gives you any indication? We've seen how good the Falcons are the last couple weeks. Their performances at Seattle in a near win. They beat Denver on the road as well. Now they're coming home. The Chargers haven't won out of San Diego. I mean, a West Coast team going east. And yeah, Atlanta, can you handle your business and win by a paltry 6 points? What am I missing?
Doesn't seem.
Who's not playing for Atlanta? Steve Barkowski
like
out.
Doesn't seem like the right number of points at all. But you know what? This is. You know what? Yeah. It's got to be respect out of Phillip Rivers his passing ability. Man, he gets him. Look, it doesn't matter who you put him up against. What the record is, he's one of those guys that, you know, it's 0-0 when we start. I got as much chance as you do, and we're gonna slug it out today. And Vegas, who is rarely wrong about anything, I mean, they see it that way too. Anyway, that's my Boss of the Big Screen today. I think there can be lots of action in that game. Should be fun to watch.
There you go. My Boss of the Big Screen.
That's a late game. 4:05 for
them. Yeah, and another late game is the one I'm talking about that I look forward to heading to later. Seahawks at the Cardinals in Arizona. It's your 5:30 game.
Sunday night
on
football.
NBC. Sunday night football. The people in Vegas got the Cardinals as a 1-point favorite, despite the fact Seattle's dominated them and especially winning there. It's a 1-point favorite, 3-3 for Arizona against 4-1 Seattle. So anytime you see a 1-point spread, it's virtually
it's
a pick'em anyway.
Field thing,
yeah, it's exactly what it is. Funky what they do at Arizona. You know what they do with that home field there is they have natural grass.
Well, it's on a drawer.
Yeah, you don't see that anywhere else. You know, Arizona literally it opens up like your garage. They wheel the entire playing surface out, 120 square yards of football out in the parking lot, so it grows under the beautiful sunshine all week long.
Well,
and then they
that
wheel
beautiful
the thing
sunshine. If you left it out there all the time, it'd burn it to nothing.
Right. Yeah. They water appropriately when they're supposed to. I've never figured that out. All the golf courses are so green over in Arizona. Right. Everything else is burnt and scorched. Yeah. But they do a great – and then they wheel it in by opening the garage door and let you play. I mean, that's a novel concept. Everybody else who plays indoors has to play on that turfus, you know, where all the ground rubber and the tires are sprouting up all over the place. Yeah, but Seahawks-Cardinals, that's the game that I like. Seattle gets a couple guys back on defense. Michael Bennett, who the Falcons did a cut block on, took him out last week. He is going to play. Russell Wilson's a week healthier. And you can't stop Jimmy Graham, period, no matter how many people you put on.
And this is the complete flip side of what I was talking about with the Falcons and the Chargers. That is going to be aerial attack, the over-under 55 points. This could be a real slugfest defensive game. I mean, I'm talking 13-6 or something like that.
Yeah, and they got an over-under of 44.
44.
On this one.
I don't know if it even gets that high.
I honestly don't know where they're going to get that. Seattle struggling running the football this year. Seattle, 25th in the league with the run as well, too. Yeah, no Marshawn Lynch there. They've been waiting for Thomas Rawls to come back from that high ankle sprain.
Yeah,
it's really been by committee. CJ Prosize, a kid they drafted out of Notre Dame, he hasn't played this year.
Christine Michael. Michael, does he go off in this game? Does he get his? No?
No. I mean, Arizona's got too good of a defense.
Christian Michael, I would
absolutely sit Christian Michael. I would do that. Then again, if you think David Johnson's going to go off against that front four of the Seahawks, I would sit him too. I would honestly sit every offensive starter.
Hold on. Go off, though. I mean, what do you mean? I mean,
do you mean score a touchdown or two, or do you mean like 100-plus yards?
No. I don't see him going for 110 yards.
Seahawks
have
allowed 100-yard rusher in like 35 games.
Well, this is the best guy in the league, so if they're going to do it, they're going to do it this guy.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, we've got the Charger report on the way. Also, speaking of all of this AFC West, how about Von Miller joining us on the telephone a little bit later on?
Yeah, Von Miller's going to join us in the program. And also, for those of you Dodger fans, we haven't brought it up, and we want to give you a little time, not too soon. It's been a tough, 12 hours for you, but a great season. And to recap it with us, you love your center fielder from that 81 World Series team, Jim, a stud, Kenny Landreau. He's going to stop by the program as well, too, so it's going to be good to have him on. He'll tell you what great things Dodger fans can expect down the road, too.
Sports on Tap, 95.5 KLOS.